Okay, we're going to look at a couple of sections of scripture this morning. Way back in probably November, there was a sense that God wanted to speak to us about this, about this time of year. So it's been sitting there for a while. And you may remember in Jan, if you were still around, that God gave us a word about that this was a year where we didn't need to wait for fruitfulness, but it was going to be a year of fruitfulness, which is tremendously exciting. But part of the sense was that for that to happen, part of what he wanted us to do was to understand anew some of the principles that were to do with sowing and reaping in our lives and in the life of the church. And excellent. So I want to read two portions of scripture. The first is Galatians 5 verse 7. The second is 2 Corinthians 9 from verse 6 onwards. We'll read them and then we'll look at them. So first of all, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. If you've got your Bibles, I'm reading from the NIV. There should be Bibles on the tables if you didn't bring one. Galatians 5 verse 7, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And then 2 Corinthians, sorry? Did I say 5? It was 6. I'm glad that John's the only one. I don't know what the rest of you are doing. But you're just pretending to read. You're just going, oh, yeah. Pretend to read. The second one is 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, and John is going to just check this out for me. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he decided in his heart to give, and it goes on to talk about financial giving. It goes on to, in verse 10, say, he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. He carries on talking about the gratefulness that will bring. And then at the very end, in verse 15, this chunk says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's Jesus, by the way, in case you were wondering. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, most people have principles by which they live. Always read the small print will be one of them. Don't judge a book by its cover, but might be another. Sleep on it. Never trust a man who says to be honest with you. Never trust a man who wears white patent leather shoes. Never trust a man who supports Collingwood or Manchester United, for example. Now I want to talk to you about some real good principles, and their kingdom principles to do with sowing and reaping. First of all, the kind of correct version, you reap what you sow. Secondly, to make it slightly clearer, if you want apples, don't plant lemons. Do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. The Bible says a man reaps what he sows. In Galatians chapter 6, and verse 7. It's a natural principle drawn from the agricultural world. And though Paul in Corinthians, the bit we read, was specifically talking about money, the principle applies through every aspect of our lives. Money, possessions, time, talents, relationships. In terms of what we invest of what we have and who we are, there's a direct connection between what's given out and what's received, both in our lives and in the lives of others. I once read the story of a guy called Jerry Savile. He had a friend called Charles who was a farmer, and he used to visit him on a yearly basis when he was in the area. And this farmer planted thousands of acres of cotton. And one day as they were driving back, the farmer, he wasn't a big talker really. And so Jerry just chatted away to him about what was going on in his life, and he got monosyllabic answers. And as they're getting towards the farm, all of the cotton is gone. And there's soybean. And Jerry says, "There's no cotton. Why no cotton?" And Charles says, "Didn't plant it, didn't want it. Planted soya, wanted soya." And Jerry Savile says, "At this point, I had a revelation. If you want to see something grow, you have to plant it." And he goes on to say, "It's no use praying for soya if you're planting cotton." It's not just about what we're praying for, it's about what we're planting. Yeah? It makes sense. It's blindingly obvious, but it's something that we tend to struggle with. So I don't just want to know what you're praying about. I want to know what you're planting. In your own life, in your relationships, in the lives of others, friends, family, marriages, in church life, at work, in your community. You can't expect a harvest if you don't plant. You can't expect a harvest of what you don't plant. You can't plant division and then hope to have your prayers answered in praying for unity. You can't expect a harvest of what you don't plant. We need God's power. We pray for the supernatural. We pray for miracles. But it's no good praying without planting. And so I just want to ask this morning, there's some stuff that maybe you're praying for, you long to see. What are you planting? Are you planting the same as you're praying? Secondly, we reap in proportion to what we sow. And again, the idiot's guide to that is, if you want lots of fruit, don't just plant one seed. All other things being equal, for the farmer, the size of the harvest is directly proportional to the amount of seed sown. If he can't be bothered to sow, if he's too mean, if he's too lazy, if he's too busy, it's no use complaining of a poor harvest. And that principle holds good in our lives. In the giving of ourselves, whether it's money or possessions or times or talents, we can't expect to see oodles of blessing when we only plant a handful. Whether that's time or input with family and friends, whether it's service in the church or to others, whether it's giving of resources or hospitality. And it's just a good reminder as the church kind of begins this new year. I know it's Feb, but we are just beginning the new year in one sense. How much are we sowing? Are we sowing little and expecting much? Do we end up begrudging what we do? Is there resentment in our attitude, even if our actions are right? Are we getting by on cruise control in our relationship with God and others? Are we scared of the cost but wanting the benefit? And the sense I had way back in November was that sense of the challenge for us as a church, as a community, to be sowing generously in the lives of others and sowing with a generous heart. We reap even as we sow. The farmer waits for the harvest. For us, there may well be a harvest to wait for in the lives of others, for ourselves, and in terms of an eternal reward. But there's also a harvest that comes at the very moment we sow. That's the amazing bit about God. With our giving comes blessing. When we give, God ensures that there is more. We read that in Corinthians. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Proverbs 11 verse 24 says this, one man gives freely and yet gains even more. What's that all about? Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will be refreshed. And God enters into our giving in a remarkable way. By the Holy Spirit, he gives us riches beyond our own grasp, so that flowing from within us is love and grace and kindness. And this isn't like a bank account that will dry up if we spend too much. I used to think, it just shows that I'm a man and stupid, when we had Tim and we were going to have Matt, How could I have enough love to go around? I mean, how was I going to love Matt as well as Tim? Just had those little moments, like, how can you do twice as much? How's it going to work? Of course, Matt came along. It was easy. It was easy as. We don't run out of love. Sometimes we feel emotionally drained, but it's a different thing. The account is being topped up with far more than we could ever earn. The more we spend, the more there is. And that realization brings, instead of dependence on ourselves and our own resources, to keep turning to God and his resources. A growing lifestyle of dependence that can bring us to the very source of God's riches. The more we give, the more we have. The more we depend, the more we're focused on the true source of riches. Jesus talks about the living water. He says, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring welling up to eternal life. And as we begin to give and to sow as a lifestyle, we begin to change. Not only do our resources come from within, but our character changes from within. What we first forced ourselves to do becomes a joy and a blessing. Then it becomes part of who we are. We give of ourselves as we seek to act with grace and generosity in our hearts. Then God blesses what we sow, enter into it by the power of the Spirit, and it becomes who we are. We move from being people who do things that show grace and generosity to being people who are full of grace and who are generous as part of our character. As we concern ourselves to do good, as we concern ourselves with righteousness, then God blesses what we sow, enters into it by the power of his Spirit, so it becomes who we are. We move from being people who do things that are good, we move from being people who are focused more on righteousness, to becoming good people who have righteousness as part of our character. So even as we sow, we are reaping. Now that doesn't make sense in human terms. But God enters into the equation and brings blessing. And even as we seek to please him and bless others, we are blessed. We reap what we sow. What we sow in the lives of others, we reap in our own lives too. Both the good and the bad. We reap as we keep on sowing. Idiot's Guide, if you want an annual harvest, don't plant only once. Galatians 6 verses 9 and 10, don't become weary in doing good, because at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. And the connection there is about doing good to all people, especially the family of believers. If you spend 20 years planting one crop, it takes more than a few weeks to see another. There's a process of rooting out the old crop, of starting again, of preparing the soil for the new crop. Planting, watering, weeding, tending, takes time, takes patience, takes perseverance. And when the ground's been left for weeds to grow up and take root, the process can take longer. And that can be discouraging, because the weeds reappear and spoil the harvest. And maybe we feel like it's not worthwhile. And there'll be times when for some of us, for quite a lot of people, the break, the summer break, is a time when people go, oh. And coming back to February in church is like, do we have to do it all again? Do we have to be nice to people for another year? Do we have to serve for another year? I'm so tired. I like that break. And the enemy uses that, you know, to create fear and isolation and complacency and all kinds of stuff. But the alternative to not sowing righteousness is we get no harvest. And that's horrendous. And that weeds will ruin any hope of a harvest to come and even infiltrate the other crops. Maybe for some there's been a time of great change and we spent years living in a way that wasn't healthy, and now we're trying to live in a way that's healthy and good and right. And sometimes it's hard. Be patient, our Heavenly Father says. Persevere, because at the proper time, there will be a harvest. Be patient with this family here. Be patient when people don't respond as you hope they would. Be patient when it's hard, because at the proper time, there will be a harvest. And remember that God's supernatural power can bring divine acceleration to the process. So if you've stuffed up in your life and you've stuffed up for 20 years, it doesn't mean you have to pay for it for 20 years. Devil wants you to believe that. He goes, it's a spiritual law. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Oh, you're excited by that. I'll say it again. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And that's what we get to experience in our lives. Not bad. Three things to think about as we bring this to a head. And the first is about supernatural increase. That's interesting. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, you will find these words talking about the children of Israel. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. The primary reference there is to Israel's foreign policy. They keep trying to make friends with different nations and make friends with that nation's gods in so doing. But Israel hasn't got much to offer, humanly speaking, and the other nations simply eat up what they have. And it's a very powerful and evocative picture. They sow stuff that's worthless and insubstantial, and what comes back is the same with interest, something that's worthless and destructive. Do you remember that verse? Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now we live in a time of grace and mercy. God loves us and forgives us and blesses us. His great desire is for the very best for us. But our free will means that we are still left with choices and consequences. And our loving Father made them clear in his word. We have kingdom principles. And those kingdom principles are there to bless us, but they stand. One of them is what we sow will come back with interest. What we sow will come back with interest. Either our Heavenly Father will multiply the right things that we sow, or Satan will multiply the bad stuff that we sow. And there isn't any way round it. It is a principle. Either God will bring blessing and fruit out of it in our lives and the lives of others, or the enemy will bring damage and destruction in our lives and the lives of others. In both cases, there will be a supernatural increase. And we get to choose who we cooperate with. whether we sow to spirit or whether we sow to flesh. If you sow to self, you reap more than that, you reap selfishness. There's a supernatural increase. If you sow to image, if you're a bit younger, if you sow to cool, you reap vanity and superficiality. There's a supernatural increase. If you sow to comfort, you reap complacency and laziness. If you sow to human security, you reap fear and control and boundaries that become prisons and limits. If you sow to offense, you reap bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness and isolation. Satan is very generous in giving a supernatural increase when we sow to the flesh. I don't know about you, I don't fancy any of that stuff. It doesn't float my boat. That's just a few to be going on with. You can feel free to add your own of how we can sow to the flesh. Before, we looked at the fruit of sowing to the Spirit, didn't we? That when we choose to do the right things, God supernaturally increases them so it becomes who we are. When we sow in the lives of others, that there is blessing. When we sow out of our riches, we get even more riches. There's two types of supernatural increase. It's important to realize that things that we think of as neutral very often aren't neutral. Because something is culturally acceptable doesn't mean that we're not sowing to the flesh. So we need to keep choosing wisely and well if we want the increase of God and not the increase of the enemy. I believe that's the heart of what God wants us to hear today. There it was. So bearing in mind that most of you won't listen to most of it, listen to that bit, because that's the heart of it. What's up for grabs is supernatural increase, and we get to choose whether it's from God or from the enemy. We need to choose wisely and well about whether we sow to the Spirit or whether we sow to the flesh. We're also talking about ourselves as a community of faith. I want you to imagine that we're having a fellowship meal, okay? And sometimes we do. So it'll be quite easy to imagine it. We're having a fellowship meal, and everyone's getting ready. And as you look around the various houses, people are chatting about it, and some are going, we just haven't got enough money to do this. So we're not taking anything today, but it's okay, because other people will. Some are going, oh, I'm really busy, I haven't got time to prepare anything. Others are going, I'm so rubbish at cooking. People will just look at my cooking and go, yucky, that's horrible. Some go, I'm tired. Some go, I am sick of providing lots and lots of food for other people. And I'm not going to do it this time. Someone else can do it. So we come for our fellowship meal, and all that we have is Harry's bread, because no one else has brought anything. And everyone is sitting there, furious or disappointed, eating dry bread and blaming everyone else. What sort of a church is this that we come to? Expecting a banquet, but bringing nothing to the table. It's ludicrous, isn't it? But as a community of faith, spiritually, emotionally, in terms of our relationships, in terms of what God is doing in this place, we get the banquet experience when everyone brings something to the table. We get the dry bread experience when everyone expects someone else to do it. In all of our weakness, with our lack and our vulnerability and our history and our struggles, we've all got something to bring to the table. And when we bring it, we'll get a banquet. And if we come ready to serve, ready for cost, ready for sacrifice, God will take our offerings and turn them into a feast. for others and for ourselves. And it's good to ask ourselves the question, when we feel like we're getting poor servings, what do we bring to the table? And we finish with our heart response. As Paul talks about giving, as he talks about sowing and reaping, he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Before we think too much about cost and too little about privilege, Paul ends with a reminder about the gift of Jesus, who gave far more than money and time and talent. He gave up everything. He gave everything. He gave himself. He gave his life. He didn't have to. He didn't need to. For himself. He chose to. For me. And for you. And every single day that this earth exists, he reaps the harvest. Every single day, Jesus continues to get a return on what he did in the lives of men and women and children. And he will do until eternity. Without that, we'd never be forgiven. Without that, we'd never enjoy a relationship with God. Without that, we'd never enjoy the Spirit's power. Without that, we wouldn't be looking forward to a home in heaven. And so as we think about sowing and reaping, what we're sowing in our own lives and in the lives of others, don't forget what you've been given. Don't forget how much you have to say thank you for. Don't forget how vital it is that others turn to Jesus and see Jesus in us and see a lifestyle that points to reality. The essence of our giving is saying thank you for the indescribable gift that we've been given and that we focused on as we shared in communion today. So maybe it's time for a change of attitude. Maybe it's time to weed out some of that old crop and seriously plant the new crop. Maybe it's a reminder to plant more than the bare minimum and reach out in trust to the one who can give us all his riches instead of protecting ourselves by ignoring others' needs. Maybe it's a reminder about renewing that effort and that patience and that perseverance and that faith when sometimes we feel like we're getting kicked back. And ask God to help us to overcome our weariness and look back to the harvest. Maybe it's a reminder to give ourselves back to God again as a thank you to Jesus for giving everything. I especially said that I planned this in November, so you didn't think I'd connected it with the rosters. But it does fit, doesn't it? It does fit. So if anyone's got to the end of this and they realize that they're one of those two people that should have volunteered to make up the numbers, then that's one way of responding. But amazingly, excitingly, if God has given this principle that he wants to give supernatural increase, and if God has told us that this year is a year of fruitfulness, if he said that's what he wants to do, that means if we cooperate with him, it's going to happen. So that means if you start sowing today, God's told you you're going to be fruitful. He's told you in his timeless word, and he's told you specifically about this church. It's a win-win. You get to choose where you're going to sow. And I believe that this is one of the keys that will unlock the fruitfulness of this church as we apply it individually to our lives. From today, I'm going to sow differently. From today, I'm going to sow realizing the implications of that sowing. God sets life before us. The enemy sets death before us. Choose life. Choose life. I just want to ask that if God has really spoken to you today, it may be that you've never come to faith And today is about saying, I'm going to actually serve and follow God now. And not my own agenda. It may be that God's just lined you back up again when you've fallen out of line. And if you are saying, as a result of this morning and what God said, from today, I am going to sow differently. From today, I am going to sow differently. That's what you're responding to. I want to ask you to stand right now so we can pray for you. From today, I am going to sow differently. If that's you, please stand. Now that's exciting. Here's a bunch of people who've guaranteed that they're going to get an increase. So let's pray for them. If you're near them, pray over them. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word today. Thank you that you're such a good God and you're such a loving God. And you're a God who wants to bless us and wants our good and wants to reach out to this world and wants to use us. I just pray specifically for those who have said today, from today, I choose to sow differently. I want to ask, Lord, that you will bless their obedience right now. I want to ask for your Holy Spirit's anointing on them right now. I want to ask, Lord, that you will lift their spirits right now. I want to ask that right now that they will know that you love them, that you have plans and purposes for them, and that as they respond to you, that they will be fruitful and that there will be increase. I want to ask, Lord, that you will lock this in their hearts and their minds so it won't be forgotten tomorrow and it won't be forgotten next week and it won't be forgotten next month, but that this will be a year of fruitfulness. And as a fellowship, we speak over these people the grace and the favor and the blessing of God as they respond in obedience. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to finish, because we have finished really, with a moment of quiet. We are going to remember, as we should have done at 12 o'clock if I got there, Black Saturday, as is being remembered all over this country. And as we do that in a moment of quiet, we remember also those communities who are sowing to new life and new community. And they are doing that out of a passion and a compassion for the community that they're part of. And we're going to pray for them. And we're going to ask God to show us how we can be the same in our community. Because we're not a Black Saturday community. We're an Easter Sunday community. Because we have more to offer than practical help and love and passion. We have the very power of God. So let's just take a minute and then I'll close. Lord, this morning we remember what happened a year ago. We remember with sadness. We thank you for the flood of compassion that went through this country as a response. We thank you for generous hearts. We thank you for the effect that that has had on rebuilding community. And we continue to pray for those who have lost their family and their friends and their livelihoods. To continue to ask, Lord, that they will find peace and comfort in you. And Lord, we want to thank you too that the generosity and compassion are things that you have placed within the heart of every man and woman, because they're in your heart. And we ask that that will be released in us in increasing measure. That we will sow out of the riches that we've been given. And that we as a fellowship and we as individuals will reap a rich harvest that has eternal consequences. In Jesus' name. Amen.